Today's daf in Masechet Mazir, brought to you from Eretz HaKodesh, is daf Mem Beis. So we've seen an extraordinary interweaving of various sugyas, which we're going to see more of, and that is the din of Esed Deicha Lo Tase, the din of how much Iser is involved in cutting off the entire head. Is it considered to be Hakofas Kalarosh Shmei Hakofa, Lav Shmei Hakofa? What is the halacha of the Iser of Giluach of the Zakan? With what type of Giluach are we talking about? What is the mitzvah of Giluach of the Levim, of the Nazir, of the Metzera? What is the kli that you use for that Giluach? Does it have to be a tar? What is the shear for the Giluach? And can you leave over one hair or two hairs? What is the shear of the Iser Giluach for the Nazir while it's prohibited to do Giluach? And how much of a Giluach would be Seiser, the dinim of the Naziris? All of this was interrelated with one with the other. And it turns out that we need the psukim in one to be megala what the dinim are on the other. Furthermore, we also learn out very important halachas, legabe ase doche lo ta'ase. And that led to the first words on the daf, which we had learned yesterday. And this is that if, in fact, you're going to be utilizing the rosho by the mitzera as the makor for how I know that I need to use a ta'ar specifically for the giluach of the mitzera, so then if that's the case, the Gemara asks, so then how does he know the idea of Esed Deicha Lo Tase? Now, I mean, this doesn't really make much of a sense, right? I mean, if we're saying that according to Rabbi Eliezer, we learned out that a Nazir was a Mitzera, according to him, for Rosha, that even the Nazir is Megaleach et Rosha, which means that we're going to be essentially over on both Hakofas HaRosh and on the dinim of the Naziris. So I don't get it. What do you mean? Where does he know it from? We know where he knows it from. We just learned where he knows it from. So why is he in more of a problem of where he knows it from than the Rabbanan, where they know it from? From the same halacha, that it's Deicha, the dinim of the Isra of Giluach. And he's learning out from the fact that it's Deicha, the dinim of the Isra of Hakofas HaRosh. Well, what's exactly the problem? So probably the simplest approach to this is the approach that Tosfos takes, which is, where does Rabbi Eliezer get the right to say that Roshe is referring to Roshe of a Nazir who becomes a Mitzera? Because remember, if we're talking about a Nazir, we're getting into a bigger problem. And that is, not only is there a Iser Lav to do the Giluach, but when it comes to a Nazir, there is a mitzvah asay, correct? And remember that normally we do not allow you, we don't say that eses docha lo ta'asay v'asay. So the question is, why over here did Rabbi Eliezer say, let me talk about a case where you're going to be over on two Isurim? What allowed him to do that? Why doesn't he use it to tell me the simple din of Esed Deicha Lo Tase and not the case of a Nazir where you're adding on an Iser Lav plus an Ase? And therefore, the Gemara assumes, okay, must be that Rabbi Eliezer knows this from somewhere else. Where is that somewhere else? So that was the Kasha. And as we saw at the beginning of the daf, the first few words that we learned yesterday, he learns it out from Lotil Baishat Neis. But nonetheless, lo tilbashat neis hagidilim taselach. But even though you can't make shatnez, but you certainly are going to have to take care of your tzitzit. Okay. Now remember, let's get back over here to the interesting interwoven contexts of Nazir, Mitzera, Levi. So remember that we had before, we talked about the Mishnah, where we said that there's three people, that there's a chiyuv of giluach, and they are the Nazir, the Mitzora, and the Levi, at the time of the Kedushas HaLevi. And kulam shegilchu shelo betar, o sheshiru shtei se'arot lo asu velo klum. Any of these cases that did the Giluach, but they did the Giluach without utilizing a razor, or if they left two hairs, then it's considered to do that they haven't done anything. They still have their hair and weren't mekayim the mitzvah. So Omer of Acha, Breda of Ika, you know what this shows you? It shows you that normally when the Torah says to do something, the shiur is rov. And unless you're told otherwise, rubo kakulo. And that seems to be a diuraisa. Mimai, because since midigal rachmon gabe nazir, by yom ha-shevi'i yigal chenum, since the Torah had already said, v'gilach et rosho, that was on the Yom HaShvi'i, and then at the end of the pasuk it repeats again, b'yom HaShvi'i yigal chenu. What's that coming to add? B'yom HaShvi'i yigal chenu. That's coming to tell me that we're talking about the entirety of his head. Yigal chenu means every last bit of it. So because of that, and only because of that, we learn out that hacha hu da'ad de'ika kulo, but be'alma rubo is kakulo. That's what it seems to show. If it wouldn't have been for the special pasuk, the repetition of Yigal Chenu, then I would have said, if the Torah says to do something, then, or not to do something, the act consists of most. But that pasuk of Bayom HaShvi'i Yigal Chenu, that pasuk is in the Parsha of Nazir Tameh. And you're using it to tell me the din of Nazir Tahar. So how do you know that even Shtei Sarot would be Ma'akev when it comes to a Nazir Tahar and the din of Giluach? Says the Gemara, when they heard that question of Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina in Eretz Yisrael, they burst out laughing. What a stupid question. We're going to see later on that the whole din that a Nazir Tameh requires a razor. How do we know that? It turns out that we learn it out from the din of Nazir Tahar. So if that's the case, then that means that we're able to learn out the two types of Giluach of a Nazir, one from the other. So the same way that we learn a Nazir Tameh from a Nazir Tahar, like the din of Tahar, we can do the opposite. And let's say Nazir Tahar v'leilu Nazir Tameh. Just like the Tameh, we have the Pasuk of Yigal Chenu to tell me that if you leave over Shtei Sarot, Lo Klo Bavad, then you haven't really achieved anything. So too, Achanami Kishir Shtei Sarot, it's exactly the same thing. Lo Klo Bavad, he hasn't achieved anything. And therefore, he's right in learning from here this halacha, that unless we're told otherwise normally, we would have assumed that Rubo is Kekulai. Boya Baya, interesting, very interesting question. A Nazir did the Giluach of his entire head, and he did not properly complete it. He left over two hairs. Then he painted those two hairs, so they could identify those two hairs, and then he let all of his hair grow back, and then he cut Bedavka those two hairs. So now the question is that considered to be a proper Giluach or not? Mau. Mima Akve? Oh, lo. Because, I mean, look. Basically, all of the hair that was on him at the time that he concluded his Naziris has now been shaven. Problem is that by the time he got around to finishing, his hair had grown back. Meaning the other hair had grown back. So when he cuts the two hairs that he had dyed red, he left over a whole head of hair that he hadn't cut. So was there, do you need to have a complete haircut at one particular time? Is that the point? Or is the point simply that all of the hair on the head at the time of the malot, of the nezirut, needs to be cut? That's my question. Gemara doesn't address it. Boy, Rava, I've got another question. Suppose he was megaleach and he left over two of these hairs, and then he shaved one of them, was about to shave the other one, and it fell out. So now it turns out that he was only megaleach one of his hairs. So what's the din? Amalei Rav Acha Divtil Ravina, what kind of weird question is that? Surely, I mean, Rava can't possibly be asking whether you would be yotze your giluach if you cut one hair at a time, would he? I mean, why would he have such a weird question? Because basically that's what's happening over here. The guy was shaving his head. He got to the last two hairs, and now before he was able to complete it, the final hair fell out. So, I understand. So, what's the question? So, you cut every hair but one. So, what is there? What you're asking, whether if you only had one hair on your head at that time that you were able to cut, what kind of question is that? Suppose you were taking a haircut, and you get to the very last hair, you complete the haircut. No, you didn't complete the haircut because one hair doesn't count. That's ridiculous, that question. That can't be what Rava was asking. You're right. What Rava was asking was the opposite. One of the final two hairs fell out before he got to the last hair. That was the problem. So Nash Ela'ema, what you should understand that Rava was asking is if Nashra Achat V'Gilach Achat Maho. So what would be the din if first one of the last two hairs falls out and now you're left with only one hair? So if you're left with only one hair at the time that you're being Megalayachit, then it really is not an act of Giluach. So, or the other way we could look at it is, okay, but now Lamaisa, if you look about it, Lamafreya, the first Giluach started and was completed. So the bottom line is, it now turns out that when the person had cut all of the hairs except this last two, that he really didn't leave two, because one of the two ends up not being there. So maybe he was Yotze. Well, Marleis Ravina said, Giluach Einkan, Seyar Einkan. Well, he didn't do a Giluach because there's no hair. What? What are you talking about? If there's no hair, then he did do the Giluach. You're not making any sense. He's Seyar Einkan, Giluach Yishkan. No, what I mean is that even though there's no hair, that doesn't mean that you shaved it off. Does it? I mean, it fell out. So what's really the relevance of the fact that there's no hair? Afa pish seyar enkan, mitzvah giluach enkan. Will you mekayim the mitzvah? No, because your original giluach left over two hairs. And we said that at the time of the giluach, we leave over two hairs. It's not an act of giluach. And then if you're only megaleach one hair, and you never had two heirs to be Megaleach because one of them had fallen out, that's not an act of Giluach. So there's no way for you to be Mekayim. What it is that you were supposed to do, Tanis Ravina. Now, this brings us to a very important moment, which apparently we're in trouble with. It looks like Doc is going to have to come to the rescue, even though he's been trying to hide behind his driver's wheel. Let's see whether we can get him to make a cameo appearance.
Well, Rebbe drinks.
Doc, think of it this way. It's an Alfred Hitchcock moment. Rum, pum, 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 rum, pum, 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 pum. Do it. Can you do it for us? You're not allowed to talk. You're muted. You're muted. Well, it's a bit unusual, but we'll accept it under the circumstances. Nazir chofefu mifasfes avalosorek. So now the question is, what type of activity is considered to be the equivalent of taking off the hair? If we're going according to the Mani Omar, who says that you are usher, and there's almost everybody agrees that you're usher, remember. Question is whether it was a lav or whether it's an assay, but most of the shitas agree that on some level it's usher, so the Mishnah is making that assumption. So then, what can he do to his hair? Can he shampoo? Or do we say, well, I mean, what happens if, you know, sometimes a shampoo, if he rubs too hard, will take out the hair or something? So maybe he's not allowed to shampoo his hair. Comes along the Mishnah to say, actually, he is allowed to be chofef, so he can rub his hair while he's shampooing. U'mifasfes, and he's able to run his fingers through his hair so that they are separated and fall properly. But he cannot use a comb. So it's like, okay, I don't quite understand the consistency over here. Chofef u'mifasfes. Now, what sheet is that based on? That's based on Rabbi Shimon, who says a dovah she'eno mitkaven is mutar. So since over here his intent in shampooing was not to remove any hair, so because of that, he can shampoo. But then it says he's not allowed to comb his hair. Well, why isn't he allowed to comb his hair? That seems to be going according to the Rabbanan, who say, even though you don't have an intent to remove hair when you're combing your hair, nonetheless, you're not allowed to do so because you may end up removing hair. So make up your mind. Is the Mishnah going like Rabbi Shimon? Is it going like Rabbi Yehudah? So when it says avalosorek, that seems to be going aliba the Rabbanan, meaning Rabbi Yehudah, who argues, can it be? Reisha Rabbi Shimon v'sefer Rabbanan? Answers the Gemara, no. The entire Mishnah is consistent with Rabbi Shimon's opinion. And the difference is that if you are sorek, then it's considered to be not a dover shein miskaven. It's considered to be a miskaven. Why? Because kol ha-sorek, whenever somebody combs his hair, his intent is not only to comb his hair so that the hairs lie properly, but he also wants to comb out his hair. Combing out his hair means that if there's any loose hair that are about to fall out, he wants them to be removed with his comb. So kol ha-sorek la-seni min medul dalot mitkaven. Now, the pashtus of that is asserting that it's going a limit of Rabbi Shimon, well, it's dover she'en miskaven is mutter, but that this is a dover that he is miskaven. The Rush doesn't learn that way. The Rush takes for granted that the inyan is that since it's a psik reisha, there's no way to avoid getting some hairs taken out. Since it's a psik reisha, therefore, it's the equivalent of miskaven, which is an insight. The language is an insight into the way that psik reisha works. That's precisely the point. We're back to duck. There we go. Unmute. You're doing it again. You've got out of practice. The Fangton is for the Perek. And the Mishnah only zooks. Except that we're not at the beginning of a Perek.
It's not there. He mixed everything up.
He started with the Rambam's Revius Yayin. Okay, wonderful. I see they're starting Purim early in South Africa. So, Rabbi Yishmael Omer, lo yachuf ba'adama, even though we said that the Nazir is allowed to be chofev, this is the way the Rambam understands it. Many understand that the Rabbi Yishmael argues, but the Rambam understands Rabbi Yishmael to be defining the first Mishnah that we had a moment ago, though this is all part of the same Mishnah, and that Rabbi Yishmael is saying, you can use shampoo, but do not use something like Adama. So, you know, they have very gritty shampoos in order to be able to stimulate the scalp and to rub very hard. Well, that's no good because that is Masheret et HaSeyar. That will cause the nazir to pull out of hair. Maybe that's how to read the Mishnah, but there's two possible ways to read the Mishnah. Iboilu, how do we read it properly? Mipnei Sheyi Masheret HaSeyar is what Rabbi Shmuel is saying is the use of Adama is usur because even according to Rabbi Shimon, it's going to end up pulling out hairs. Or is the Mishnah understood as Mipnei HaMasheret HaSeyar? That don't use any Adama because if you use even a type of adama that won't do that to the hair, and it's soft or grit, but we're afraid if we allow a nozer to utilize something that is so gritty, he'll end up utilizing something that really will be a davar that is a psik reisha, which boils down to a miskaven. And therefore, you cannot use any kind of adama. And the difference will be very much nogel halacha l'mainav kamina. Well, I mean, let's say that you have a fine grit. So it's Adama that will not cause any kind of tearing out of hair, or not definitely cause, right? So it could go into Ika Adama de lo matra. So if you're going to tell me that the way to read the Mishnah is Mipnei Shehi Masheret HaSeyar, so then this one is not. That's all. It's all Rabbi Shimon was saying. Don't use Adama, which is Masheret HaSeyar. But this one isn't, so there's no issue. And if you're telling me you can't use any kind of Adama because we are concerned that you may end up using a more powerful Adama that will call it, cause it to fall out, so then Enochinami, it would be usher even if you know that this particular one is not going to cause any problems, because that's good for what the Mishnah is saying. There's a gezerah, and therefore, klal klalo, you're never allowed to use Adama. Okay? Teku. That's not clear what it was that Rabbi Shmo was saying.
But we have no grounds to be muttered.
Okay, Doc, I'm telling you, you're in overdrive today, baby. Take another drink, a heavy drink, and go for it. I'm not sure if we're getting closer or further away. We need an old-fashioned Zok Tehelika Mishnah, even though b'cho yom yiyube necha kechadoshim, and therefore it's always a new beginning. Most of the people around you are not on your madrega to understand that we're always starting anew. So for the rest of us, next time, just give us a Zok Tehelika Mishnah.
Sorry.
No. Nothing to be sorry about at all. We're enjoying it. So now the question is, how many times can a Nazir be over on this Isser that he's going to be Chayav Malkus on? And is it that every time that he does a little bit of it? So if he cuts a hair, he's Chayav Malkus, and he cuts another hair, he's Chayav another Malkus. Oh, this guy could be pretty black and blue by the end of the day. So what would be the halacha? Nazir Shaya Shoteh Yayin Kol Hayom. So suppose the Nazir was drinking all day long. We don't mean to reflect on you, Doc, in any way. So he was drinking all day long. He's only going to be chayev once, because he only was told, don't drink wine, you're a nuz, you're not allowed to drink wine. So he's chayev one time. But suppose between every revius, the edim come and they say to him, no, don't drink anymore. You're already chayev once, so you only be chayev again. And he drinks nonetheless, so he would be chayev on every single, obviously it needs a shear, but every single shear, assuming it's a revius or a kesayis, depending on the shita, that he drinks. The same thing is true about shaving. Hayamigaleach kol hayom. He is gradually cutting his hair all day long. Eino chayev al achat. But if on every time he was about to cut a hair, they told him, don't do that, you're going to be over on an Isser D'oraisa, al tegaleach. And he goes ahead nonetheless, and he keeps on doing it, lo megaleach, there too he would be chayev al kol achat v'achat. And the same thing is true of a Nazir who is being mitameh. Haya mitameh lemesim kol hayom, eino chayev al achat. So he keeps exposing himself to new metim. Amrulo al tame. So then he would be chayev for each time that he made himself tame, for each one of the hatraot. Now, the question is that we have two different ways of understanding the Isser of Tuma on the Nazir. Because on the one hand, the Torah says that he is not allowed to be mitame himself. Laviv, Limo, Lachiv, Lachoto, Lo Yitamelan Bimotam, Ki Nezir Elohav Al Rosho. But then there's another pasuk that says, Al Kol Nafshot Meit Lo Yavo. Well, didn't we already know that? I mean, we said he's not allowed to be Metame himself. So what would be the point of mentioning Lo Yavo, don't come in to a building in which there's a mace? Ah, that is a tremendous chiddush, says Rabbah, in the name of Rav Huna. We have a clear-cut pasuk. Mikra malei dibera katuv lo yitama. So the nazir is not allowed to be metame in any way. Now, in any way means he's not allowed to be noigeya, he's not allowed to be nosei, he's not allowed to be metame in an oyel, in any fashion. It says he cannot be metame himself. Then when it says lo yavo, lo yavo means to come into a building with a mace, which is specifically in terms of tumas oyel. So then that must be coming to tell us two separate isurim. One is a general isur on tuma, and the other is an isur on bia, walking into a house or a enclosure that has a mace in it. So there, in Achinami, if he was first tamei and then he goes into a building and now he adds this new isur of lo yavo, so then in Achinami he would be chayev twice. But tuma v'tuma, if he was tamei from a mace and then he goes and he touches another mace, not by oyel, but by maga, so then it's clear that the Torah is not being b'chayev of him. Because even if he got hatra'ah, now this seems to run against the Mishnah, we're going to talk about that, but even if he got hatra'ah again, it's a meaningless hatra'ah. Because the Torah did not anywhere say, don't continue to be tamei. It says, don't become tamei. He already became tamei. So he's not adding anything by becoming tamei while he's still tamei, right? So where did it ever say, don't touch a mace? It says, lo yitama. But if he's already tamei, so then there's no meaning in touching an additional mace. And therefore, if he would be mitamei through going into a house that has the mace in it, that's indeed a separate iser. But we're not talking about that. We're talking about where he simply touched another mace. And there, you see clearly that he's not included in the iser, despite what it says in the Mishnah, which we'll try to figure out according to Rav Huna. So this is the approach of Rav Huna, the way Rabbah quotes Rav Huna. However, Rabbi Yosef says that is not true. And I'm telling you, I swear to God, it's not true. Elohim, Omer Rav Huna, afilu tum'a v'tum'a. Rav Huna said, even if you add another tuma while you're already tame, in even if it wasn't through going into the house of the mate, you would still be chayev on the second one. I'll prove it to you. Here's what I know from Rav Huna. The Omer Rav Huna, nazir shaya omed bebet hakvarot. Let's talk about a case where nazir is standing in a beit hakvarot. Remember, every time that we've discussed this issue of standing in a beit hakvarot, we always are taking it to assume that he really became tamei in the beit hakvarot. I mean, you could be in the beit hakvarot and not really be tamei, you know, because it's possible to shield yourself by simply not going into any place in which there's a kever. But when we say the nozer, remember we had all the Mishnayos, it was nozer v'hu b'beit hakvarot. That was talking about that he actually was mekabel tuma from the one of the tumas that would be mechayev him in the beit hakvarot. So we have the golel and the dofek and so on and so forth. So there he is, and he's tame, and now they hand him over the gates. They say, okay, now you're going to be a member over here of the Chevra Kadisha. Please take this mace. They hand him a mace. Hoshito lo meso. So it's one of his relatives. They say, okay, do you bury your relative? Or for that matter, a mace acher, it could be another mace. The moment that he touches it, he's chayev. Now, why is he chayev? If he was already tame, and you're telling me that you don't get additional malchus for becoming tame again, even if you were given hatra'ah, so then am I? Amitame v'kaim. He was tame. And the Torah said not to become tame, but he's not becoming tame. He'd already been tame. So what would be the problem? He's not going into an ohel mace over here. So what exactly would be the reason that he would get malchus again? El alav shmam, you know. So you see that what Rav Huna meant, says Rav Yosef, very clearly, is that you are chayev for becoming tamei again after being tamei. Otherwise, this doesn't make any sense. It's Rav Huna himself who says this. So, ela lav shmamina, that Rav Huna actually held that even if it's tuma vetuma, and not necessarily be a vetuma, eisvei abaya. So Abaya asks Rabbi Yosef, look at this braita. Kohen shahayalo met munach al ketefo. Here's a kohen, and he is carrying a mace on his shoulder, and he's on his way to bury this mace. Now, hoshito lo meto, we hand him over a relative while he's carrying this other relative already mace on his shoulder. And even though we're talking over here about a kohen, the halachas about the dinim of a nazir and the dinim of a kohen actually is a gzeres shava. And so because of this, it doesn't matter that here we're talking about a kohen. It's exactly the same halacha about the nazir. So they hand him another mace to carry while he's carrying this mace, and he touches it. You might think that he should be chayev, Talmud lomar, v'lo yechalel. Therefore, the way that this is a mistake, really, because it doesn't say v'lo yechalel about tuma anywhere. It's obviously referring to the pasuk of lehechalo. So it's the idea of lehechalo, apparently, is the correct pasuk. And that, we understand that the kohen who becomes tamei, lo yetamei ba'al ba'amav lehechalo, is to be mechalel himself through tumah. We'll see more about that word later on, because, of course, it's similar to the idea of halal, and a halal is someone who's been killed. So therefore, it means to say, mi she'eno mechulal. Where does the Torah say that you're going to be chayev if you become tamei as a kohen or as a nazir? Only if you are not already in a state of being lehechalo. But if you are already in that state, yotzazeh shehu mechulal v'omeid, this person already is in a state of lehechalo. And therefore, excuse me, Rav Huna, and therefore you're not chayev if all that you do is become tamei while you're already tamei. So I think that Rabbi Yosef's quote of Rav Huna is wrong, as it says beferish over here that that's not the case. And over here is mechulal v'omeid. Omar lei, listen, my dear Abaye, says Rabbi Yosef, what, you really had to find that brisa? Come on, man. You could have looked at our Mishnah. You missed the Mishnah? The Tanan, it says in the Mishnah, hayam etameh lemetim kol hayom, Eno chayav ela achad, but if he gets hatra'ah every time, amrulo, al titamei, al titamei. So what's the din over there? He's chayav al kol achad v'achad. So you have to run to some crazy brisa that nobody knows, and the Mishnah, we're in the middle of learning, that never occurred to you to ask, that it says over there, beferish, obviously Rav Huna is not arguing on the Mishnah, and it says in the Mishnah that if they keep giving him hatra'ah, that he would be chayav on every single one. So what were you thinking, man? And why am I? I mean, you could have asked the same question on me. Amit tamei vikayim. He's already tamei from before. So what does that show? It shows that I apparently am correct, that a nazir is chayev on every single one of the tumeis. So that's exactly what I said. So what are you looking at a brisa that seems to be saying the opposite? Elakasha adade. So you'll say, oh, this is terrible. So now we have a big problem. We've got a contradiction between the Mishnah and the brisa. Nah, ridiculous. Elakasha. Obviously, it's not akasha. There's many different ways of learning this. This is, I believe, the most reasonable approach, that this is all part of what Rabbi Yosef is saying. Rabbi Yosef is saying, look, there's obviously no contradiction between the Mishnah and the Braita, right? You bought the Braita. I'm bringing you the Mishnah. You always understood that there can't be a contradiction. So obviously, we've got a special case over here, don't we? How did the Braita describe the case? It says that for some reason, he was carrying a mace on his shoulder. Why does it have to say he was carrying a mace on his shoulder? It could have just said if a kohen was tamei, right? So the answer is obvious. There's a major difference between someone who is carrying a mace on his shoulder, and now they hand him over another mace, to someone who is tame and they hand him over another mace. And that is called a new type of tuma, which is called tuma bechiburim. I see that Gavi is not being very active today. Tuma, he should have grabbed his pen immediately. Tuma bechiburim. So this is called a state of tuma while you are actually in touch with the thing that's being metame you. Now the difference between tuma bechiburim and tuma that is not bechiburim is immense, because suppose somebody else touches the kohen or the nazir, in our case. If the nazir was tame because he had become tame, as a, now he's a tame mace and he's tame shiva, what's the din of a person who touches a tame mace who's tame shiva? He doesn't become tame shiva. He becomes tame for one day, like touching any of the other aveis hatuma. The din of requiring shlishi v'shvii hazoya and being tame for shivas yomim is only when he actually comes in touch with the mace itself. But over here, so long as that person, the way he's described over here, was carrying the mace on his shoulder, then anybody who touches the person who's carrying is also going to be tame for shivas yomi. Therefore, in that case, of course Ravuna is made that you're adding tuma. When I said, and the whole idea was, that Rabba was saying, that Ravuna never said that you could be betame tuma vetuma. I mean, what do you think, really, that we forgot the Mishnah? Come on, man. So it means that if it's tuma on the same darga, that you can't. Unless the new tuma was a tumas bia. That's all that he meant. I mean, but obviously, if there would be a completely new din of tuma b'chiburin, and now he's more tame than he was before, so then you were moisif tuma, so then you're not mechulal from the beginning. Therefore, it all makes sense. I wasn't saying, oh my God, no, you're wrong, Rabbi Ravuna. It does hold of tuma v'tuma. It depends on the case, obviously. All I'm saying is that there's two additional ways to be mechayev him again. One is, of course, by bia, because that's a new lav. But the other is by a new darga of tuma, which is called tuma b'chiburin. Very simple. Okay. So now that works only if tuma b'chiburin really makes a difference to Yeraisa. So then you can give him malchus, because he added a new level of tuma in this case. Problem is that I don't think it's d'oraisa, says the Gemara. The tuma b'chiburim is d'oraisa. Ha'omer of Yitzchak by Yosef, omer Rabbi Yanai, lo amru tuma b'chiburin ala l'truma v'kachim. This halacha, that it's possible to be metame someone for 7 days by someone who is mechuber to the maze, that is not true all the time. It's only true binogea somebody who wants to eat truma, or he wants to eat kodesh. But let's say this guy is a nazir, or he wants to make his carbon pesach, and now he's really messed up because he became tame for 7 days. He didn't. It's not for real. It's obviously only the Rabbanon. It's the Rabbanon with Machmer. When it comes to the Yinim Achil, that's true of a Kachim, fine, they're Machmer. But they're not going to stop a guy from bringing a carbon Pesach. They're not going to stop a guy from counting his Naziros. So obviously, it can't be a D'oraisa, because Yama D'oraita, Maishno, according to you, it's a D'oraisa. I mean, D'oraisa, it either is Tame or it's not Tame. It can't be Tame for anything but Korban Pesach. That doesn't make any sense. So you see from here clearly that the din of Tuma B'chiburin is a D'rabbanan. Answers the Gemara. Two different cases. When Rabbi Yanai was saying over here that we're talking about Truma versus Pesach, and that it's only a D'rabbanan, that's true. But that's talking about chibure adam be'adam. So that's talking about one person touching another person. So then, if he touches another person who is touching the individual, so there's three people here. That is only drabbanan. Masha ein kein kan bechiburei adam b'meis. So if someone is in touch with a mace and then somebody touches him and not touching someone who touches him, that is a diaraisa. What Rabbi Yonai was referring to was a case, derabbanan, where it's one person further away. Okay, so now when Rabbi said lechatchila that if he went into a house, then he would be chayav again. How does that work exactly? Tuma v'tuma, Rabbi said, you're not chayav. Why? Because you're already tummy. Okay, so tuma v'bianami, you're already tummy, aren't you? I mean, if you're telling me that tuma doesn't register, because, I mean, there's no new darga of tuma, by now going into an olam es, you're not changing the darga of tuma. So why would the isra of bia be nogea if the bia in the olam es was not matami you? Matami v'kai. Says the Gemara, you're right. We thought originally that it would be metame, even if you'd be chayiv, even if you went in subsequently into an olam es. That doesn't make sense, because there's no tuma that's being added. It must be talking about that you went in simultaneously. In other words, you became tame by going into an olam es. So there you're over on two separate isurim. You're over on akonav shos meis lo yavo, and you're also over lo yitama. Exactly. So, kan babayit, kan basadeh. Where would you become chayev two times? That's talking about where a nazir was completely tahar, walks into a house with a mace. So then, at the same moment, he becomes tameh, and at the same moment, he was nichnas into the olamez. Masha ein kein, where you're only chayev once, over there, it's talking about that he was betame himself on the outside. So he's in the sadeh. So over there, he did not go into a house. And then, if you then afterwards you walk into a house, you didn't add anything, and then you would only be chayev once. Says the Gemara, understand. The moment that you walked into the house, I mean, did you suddenly appear in the house? Abracadabra? No. You walked into the house. Now, as far as I know, you walked into the house, you're swinging your arms, your hand goes into the house, what happens? At that point, you're already tummy. Why? Because a bayit that contains a mace is considered to be ki'ilu mole tuma. And therefore, you would be immediately, even without bia, you touched the tuma in that house. So it would be matami, who was touching a mace. So kivin da'al yada yistayv. You walked in with your hand, that's already it. So now when you get the rest of your body in, then you are, in fact, not adding any tuma. You said if you don't add any tuma, then Ravuna would hold that even bia is not adding anything. So how do you explain it? Well, says Rabbi Elazar, it depends how you walked in. If you walked in by swinging your hands and doing one of these power walks in which you're getting extra calories burned, you know, you could even do one of those crazy walks where you lift your leg all the way up for every step and the leg goes, there's all kinds of power walks. We're not talking about power walks. We're talking about tziref yado. So if, in fact, his hand touched it, you're right. Then mishum tuma ika, you'd only be chayev for the lav of tuma. You wouldn't be chayev for bia. But suppose you put your hands down next to the side of your body and you walk in. So then your hands don't swing into the house. So then you would get both at the same time. Tuma ubia. No, we're talking about a Jew with a Jewish nose. What's the matter with you? This guy's nose. He got into the house before the rest of him. That's right. So therefore, he was already mitame when his nose touched the tuma in the house, which was mole tuma. And then when the rest of him gets in, he's not adding tuma. So we have the same problem, even if he keeps his hands at his side. I mean, you're not accounting for his nose, are you? So in that case, his nose had to come in first, and he already became tame. Elama Rabba. Okay. So the answer is not to keep your hands at your side. It is basically Hichnis yado, if you had put your hand in, or the correct girsa is probably the way that the Rosh quotes it, which is hichnis rosho. It's true. If your head got in there, so then there wouldn't be a chayav of bia. Hichnis gufo, but suppose you take one of these crazy stances, put your hands at your side, lift your head all the way back, and walk in. So at that point, it's basically his body that's coming in. At that moment, he would be chayev for the bia and for the tuma. So tuma ubia bahari hadareka atyan. What? Did you forget his toesies? What about his toesies? If he's walking in, one of those toes got in there before the rest of him. Listen, you're just not going to be able to cut his body down that it becomes a block, right? Somehow or other, this guy is going to be in trouble before he ever entered the house. So if that's the case, there's no way that, practically speaking, you could be chayev on simultaneous tuma and bia. So what is Rahuna referring to? It doesn't make any sense. Yev shadelo ayel etzba'ata the kari bereisha v'nachas lo tuma. Ela amar of papa. The actual case is where the guy helicoptered in and then opens the door in the bias. This was quite a deal to helicopter into it. But, you know, these very carefully aimed drones can just bring you in just like that. You go straight through the window. But instead of bombing the house, you end up getting bombed by all the bodies in the house. So over there, it would mean that the moment that you open the door to your helicopter, at that moment, you would be both tamei and bi'ed into the house at the same moment. And that was what Rav Huna was referring to. So it must be talking about kegon shenichnas b'shidat teva u'migdal, u'bo chaveiro fara alav et ha'maziva. Now, it doesn't, obviously, it's not going to help if the other guy takes the top off, unless you at least did something. You have to be a misayer. You're not going to become chayev, of course, as the Rosh points out. But it can't mean that the other person did the entire work. Although, it's possible that if you told the other guy to take it off for you, so then basically you would be chayev for being matam yourself. And in that case, tuma ubia bahadiya darika ati. So then in that case, you would be chayev both simultaneously.